Welcome to the New Life Millbrook Weekly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information about this podcast or other resources, please visit nlmillbrook.com.
Oh, He is so good. Whew. He is so good. He just gets better and better and better. He gets deeper and deeper and deeper, and we can plunge farther and farther and farther into Him, which is so wonderful and amazing because He's endless. Woo! And all the hunger that we have in this house, He just meets us, you know, and that's what I love about it. You know, He's there for us. He always has been. Oh, anyway. Well, we've been talking about relationship. I talked about that last week. I'm tying all this together with what I'm talking about with the relationship that we have with God, creating an environment for Him to manifest His presence, not only corporately, but in our individual lives, because we're all called to be manifestors, you know, for Him to have the liberty to move through us. And so I've been talking about the relationship that we have with Him, that intimate fellowship that we have with Him. And I want to continue with that tonight. You know, I talked last week about the fact that, you know, the intimate relationship isn't just for us. You know, we get saved, we get to know Him, He reveals Himself to us, and then we have that wonderful Holy Spirit on the inside of us to help us through. And I love that we are betrothed to the Father, you know. We're the bride of Christ. And He put the Holy Spirit, He deposited Holy Spirit on the inside of us. And how more intimate can you get than to have His presence and His power on the inside of us? And I'm so thankful for that. And the exciting thing is that just points to the fact that it's not just about me. You know, that this life that I'm leading here on this earth, even though I have this precious, intimate relationship with the Father, it's never been just about me. And so one of the things when I was praying about what to say, you know, and Holy Spirit takes everything over, you know, which I appreciate, because I want Holy Spirit to teach me, you know, as we prepare to share with everyone here, anyone who teaches up here, you learn more, you know, and Holy Spirit's the revealer of truth. But one of the things that I was meditating on is I had mentioned last week about the fact that Holy Spirit has an assignment for each one of us, and that His primary responsibility is to fulfill that assignment. And Linda and I had talked about that, and I wanted to bring a little clarity to that because, you know, that can mean, we can take that to mean that it's all about us, but it was never about us. You know, that assignment that He has on the inside of us, it's an individual plan for each one of us because we have an individual sphere of influence. But God has this overarching plan, and it's fueled by love. And, you know, we sing about God's love for us, but we have to remember, for God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. You know, and that we are part of that grand plan to get the message out. And so we have Holy Spirit on the inside of us with an individual plan for us to fulfill, but it's part of the overarching plan that God has that none perish. And so I wanted to give some clarity to that tonight. It is His primary responsibility to fulfill that inside of you because He is your helper. God deposited Him on the inside of you to help you achieve the goal of hitting the finish line. And I had said before, you know, I was in the teacher's meeting, and Geppetta Rogers said that, you know, she talked about the hearing, you know, that point where Jesus says on the cross, it is finished. And He knew that He had completed what He had been assigned to do here on this earth. And that's what we need to do. You know, we need to be able to hit the finish line and know, you know, I can say it is finished because I completed what I was assigned to do. And Holy Spirit's primary responsibility on the inside of me is to get me to that finish line and completely doing the complete things that God wants me to do in that overall plan of that none perish. So I'll talk a little bit about that as we go along. And let's see here. I talked about how one of the things I love Watchman Nee, you know, he just says it like it is, you know, and I appreciate that. But he said, when the Spirit is released, it supplies the needs of the world. We have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, and God wants Holy Spirit to be able to manifest himself through us in cooperation with us to meet the needs of the world. And we're not going to be satisfied in this life if we aren't doing those things, sowing into that vision and mission that God has for us, because if it becomes about us, it's very unfulfilling. You know, you're really doing dead works. So another thing, I liked what John Bevere said. He said, without the Holy Spirit, there's virtually no Christian life. And if you remove the Holy Spirit from a church, one of two things will happen. It'll either morph into a social club or it'll become a religious institution, which we don't Holy Spirit has freedom here to move. And I know in each one of us, we have a desire for Holy Spirit to move in us. And not only just, corporately, but also in us, in our individual lives. Now, I talked about who the Holy Spirit was last week. I talked about the roles, you know, about Father being like Father God is, you know, the architect, the overall one who has the plan, and how, you know, Jesus is that foreman on the job, you know, seeing that things are being done. And Holy Spirit is the manifester of creation. And I reminded you about how Holy Spirit was over the surface of the waters, brooding over the surface of the waters when God was in the process of creating. And when God spoke, Holy Spirit brought out those things into the natural that God spoke. And that is what we are a part of. Let's see. And I talked about how Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit isn't like us. We are like Holy Spirit. You know, he's a being. He has personality traits, just like God has personality traits, but he's not a human being. We are in the image of God, therefore we're in the image of Holy Spirit, but Holy Spirit's not in the image of us. And I think we need to recognize that. That's one of those things that I'd like for my own self, is to have more of a God consciousness on a daily basis of the fact that I have Holy Spirit on the inside of me, and, you know, is what I'm going to say or do or whatever, how is that going to affect him? Because everywhere I go, I take Holy Spirit with me, okay? And I had read some scriptures about that last week. Another thing that I said last week that I thought was really important that we need to think about is the fact that Jesus did not do anything in ministry until after he was baptized by the Holy Spirit. And, you know, we believe, not all churches believe this, not all denominations believe this, but we believe, you know, you get saved and then there's the second experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit in Acts, that second experience. And so it doesn't mean you're any less saved when you get saved, you know, and anyone who doesn't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that doesn't mean you're less saved, but it gives us power and that, a sensitivity in the Spirit. We have that evidence of speaking in tongues, of that relationship with him. And it's something that if you don't have, you really should seek it out. And it's not something that you have to work at getting. It's simply asking and receiving. You know, Pastor uses that word receive a lot. It's simply receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, asking for it. I don't know how many years it was before I realized, it wasn't too long after I got saved that I realized, because we were going to a church that, you know, believed in the gifts and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I saw that I needed that, and so I sought God out for it and started praying and seeking him out for it, which I didn't know anything, and so I thought you had to memorize the words that started to come out of your mouth, you know, and didn't know that, but that's, I think everyone in here probably has that baptism of the Holy Spirit, but I think it's something that we need to be in practicing, as in speaking, you know, in tongues on a a regular basis in your prayer, you know, using your prayer language, because it builds you up on the inside, and it is very effective for prayer. The things that you don't know how to pray for, I ask Holy Spirit to help me, and He assists me, and you can feel that on the inside as you're praying. Jesus was completely dependent on the Holy Spirit. If Jesus was completely dependent on the Holy Spirit, I need to be completely dependent on the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus said that He heard, you know, whatever the Father said, that's what He did. Well, He was hearing Father through Holy Spirit, because that's the way the mechanics of it works. You know, God is in heaven, and now Jesus is in heaven. So for us, Holy Spirit hears what God says and speaks that to us. You know, we know the plans of God because Holy Spirit's the revealer of truth. Okay, so we've got to connect with Him on the inside. We have got to start, and I've really, you know, over the years of walking with the Lord, and I said this last week, you know, I pursued to know God the Father, and I pursued to know God the Son, but I never really pushed in to know God the Holy Spirit. You know, I knew about Him. You know how you know about people? But see, I'm supposed to have a relationship with Him like I have with Father, you know, like I have with Jesus, that intimate fellowship. And how more intimate can you get when you have Him on the inside of you? And so I need to cultivate that relationship, because that's one of the things when you're trying to move in the gifts, if you're not sensitive to Him, it's because you haven't, have you really been talking to Him? Have you really been having that, that relationship with Him? You know, if I'm not listening, you know, if I'm so busy and I'm not cultivating that, it's like a relationship, you know, like with your spouse. If I'm not paying my spouse attention, you know, after a while he's just going to stop, you know, trying to talk to me. So I want Holy Spirit to talk to me, so I need to cultivate that. I need to press in to know Him, you know. And so I would say that that is something we need to do. And remembering that we are empowered by Holy Spirit. We get Holy Spirit living on the inside of us, but we also get power to live. And that power word, and Pastor Marsh has talked about that, is the resurrection power. One of the things I wanted to point out is there's nothing we can't overcome, because when Jesus died and He went to hell, He got the keys to every bondage that we could ever have. And so when He rose from the dead, I have that same resurrection power on the inside of me. So literally I have the keys for every bondage, you know, thing that the enemy might try to put on me. I have those keys on the inside of me to unlock the chains. So that's that resurrection power. And so we need to walk in that power every day, just using Holy Spirit as a, you know, just getting by, you know, till I get to the sweet by and by. One of the things I thought about is, you know, if we look at our experience on this earth as a only about me experience, then we will be, we won't have that overcoming mentality, because we have to have the larger vision of what God has, that we are this part in this grand plan that He has, that none perish. And that love that He has isn't just for me, it's for others. And I get to play this big, amazing part in His desire to reach everyone that are in my sphere of influence. And so it is His heart and His drive and His desire that I do that. And so that's something I think we need to think about. And if we stay in a mindset of that it's all about me, it is, and Ira and I talked about this, he reminded me of the Joyce Meyer around the mountain thing. You know, you take trips around the mountain, you know, like Israelites, the 40 years in the wilderness. And if we make a choice when God wants us to change and to not be about ourselves, when you get in your self mode, you get very, you're not developing in the fruit of the Spirit. You're not developing the character and nature of God. It's very contrary to who He is. And so do you really want to take a trip around the mountain? And if you're taking trips around the mountain, you're in a death culture, and you're sowing to death, and your mind is on death, and that's not what God has for us, and you're not fulfilling what he wants you to do on this earth. So it's very important that I remember that I am a part of this big grand plan that God has, that none perish, and that as we sing about the love of God, that it isn't just for me, it's for the world. So when I go out there, his love, the fragrance of his love should be on me in such a way that I change the atmosphere of the places that I'm in. And I'm challenged by that because I think I need to do better. You know, when I'm in the store or wherever I'm at, I need to be better about remembering that I have a part to play in this desire that God has, that for God so loved the world. Yes, he loved Connie, but he loves all these other people so much that he doesn't want any of them to go to hell. And so that should be something that should preoccupy my mind. Because the other thing I wanted to say is, you know, what was Jesus's mission on this earth when he got baptized by the Holy Spirit? What was the purpose of him being here? You know, that none perish. And so should that not be my purpose too? And one of the things I was thinking about is years and years and years ago, you know, I heard someone say, well, you know, I'm just not called, I don't have the gift of evangelism. Well, we are all, there. It's not a gift. It's a calling. It's a, you know, we are commanded, you know, and so it should be something that we should be thinking about everywhere we're going. You know, is there somebody that God wants me to impact today, which he does, you know, and I want to be better about thinking about that every day when I get up in the morning. Because years ago when I would pray and ask him, I had a very much a mind about evangelization, and I even went through evangelism explosion. We did door-to-door, knocking on doors, sharing the gospel, you know, and somehow I've gotten away from that over the years through the busyness of life, but that's still the heart of the Father. And so I want to be about his business, and that should be a primary thing in my life. That should be a priority. You know, everywhere I go, it should be something I think about, I believe, on a daily basis, and pray about on a daily basis. So I would like to challenge us all in here to do that. Let's see here. I talked about the conditions for manifestation. You know, we want God to manifest his presence in and through us. But there's conditions for that. We want him to reveal himself to us. One of the things that Jesus said is in John 14:21, he said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. And so the promise is when I keep the commandments of God and I love him, that I can be guaranteed that he will reveal himself to me. Now, how does he reveal himself to me? Through Holy Spirit, because Holy Spirit's the revealer of truth. And so we know that God the Father and God the Son are in heaven. So what's my connection? It's Holy Spirit. And so that's why it's so important for us to really get the God consciousness of the fact that Holy Spirit's on the inside of us and we need him. And we need to call on him for help. And be specific about what you need. But anyway, as we make the choice to obey, and that should be something every day that we do, and love him like he loves us, really cultivating that relationship, we can have the expectation for him to show himself to us in deeper and deeper and deeper ways. And I'm hungry for more of him. You know, I don't want to wait till I get to heaven for him to reveal himself completely to me. I know that, as I showed you before, Moses got to have an experience of seeing him. He didn't see him face to face, you know, he didn't see God face to face. But you see these people in the Word that had these amazing encounters with God. I can also have that. And Holy Spirit's here to help me to reveal God to me. I talked about how Holy Spirit is our helper. And I love that, you know, that Jesus says in John 14:16, he says, that he's going to give us another helper, and that's another of the same kind. And again, I talked about how it was, there's similarities, but there's diversities. And again, it goes back to the roles of, you know, who God the Father is, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is. They have different roles, but they're the same unified unit. And that was something I wanted to point out is unity. Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are unified in what they want to do. And I'm three parts too. I am spirit, soul, and body. So I need to make sure that all three parts of me are in alignment and in unity with the overall arching plan of what God wants to do. And so I need to get myself together. And I know I have the resurrection power on the inside of me, so I can take my outward man and make it come into conformity to the will of God. And I loved, one of the things that was pointed out when I was studying is that, and I wanted to read this, I thought this was so cool about how, let's see if I can find this. Holy Spirit is a, let's see, this is really good. He said that, God, this is Watchman Nee. He said, God intended for man's spirit to be his home or dwelling place. So the Holy Spirit making a union with the human spirit was to govern the soul. And then the spirit and soul would use the body as a means of expression. That's how it works. And I love that. Holy Spirit's governing my soul. But one of the things that I thought Watchman Nee pointed out is he talks about our spirit and Holy Spirit. You know, our spirit is redeemed. And so if our spirit is redeemed, our spirit's going to have the mind of God, meaning that it's going to have the priorities of God. Well, Holy Spirit has the priorities of God. So there's a cooperation that takes a place on the inside of us. I do not believe that my spirit just sits off on the side until I get to the sweet by and by, you know, and remains eternally. There's a part that my spirit is playing in there. And so I believe, you know, that, and I thought what Watchman Nee said, he talks about the Holy Spirit and our spirit, it's like they're mingled together on the inside because they're both eternal. And so I believe my soul plays, my spirit plays a part in governing my soul. In the natural part of who I am, my mind, the soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. But I have Holy Spirit on the inside to help me govern that. But I believe my spirit is there in cooperation with Holy Spirit. I think it's important for us to recognize that we have that governing on the inside. And I also thought it was interesting, you know, God knows that our flesh is unredeemed, and our spirits are redeemed, so they're in the exact likeness of Jesus. But our souls are in the process of being redeemed, and that's where we put our mind on the Word of God. You know, we get in the Word of God because the mind, the will, and the emotions have got to line up with the Word. We know that the flesh is tied to the earth, and we just got to crucify it every day. You know, you got to kill it. You know, you've got to kill it. And I love this scripture, Ira, let's see here. I want to go back to this one scripture that it's so good. It's like the Holy Spirit's taking me around in a different way. You know, you have your notes and you're like A, B, C, D, and then the Holy Spirit's like Z, W, A. You know, he takes you around your notes. And it's good. I want him to do that. But this was really good. You know the scripture in John 12, 23 through 26? I wanted to read this. It says here, Jesus answered them saying, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it to eternal life. To life eternal. And that goes back to, you know, Jesus went on the cross, you know, for us. But are we willing each and every day to crucify this flesh, this outer covering, you know, that and be able to bear the fruit that he wants us to bear? You know, I don't want to sow to the flesh. I don't want to sow to the death culture. I don't want to manifest death. You know, I want to manifest life, okay? And so I have the ability to create because God gave me that divine capacity. And I was thinking about this. I was outside yesterday, I think it was, and all the pollen is going around in the air. You know, we're in the season of procreation. I'm a being that procreates, but what am I creating, okay? And I'm called to create life. And so I'm called to create the fruit of life, okay? But if I don't let this outer, part of who I am die on a daily basis, I'm going to continue to sow to the flesh. And I'm going to be in a death culture. I'm going to have a death mindset, and I won't be fulfilling what God's called me to do. And I think it's really important that we, I don't know, over the years of walking with the Lord and years ago, it seemed like we hit on that an awful lot about, dying to yourself. It's just the way that the church is over the years. You know, there's different things that the church as a body, as a whole, hits on different things, you know, over the years. And there used to be that bam, 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 you know, you need to die to your flesh, you need to, you know, and then we're, you know, now we're in the love and the grace and everything. But you have to, as I've said in the past, you've got to have the balance in all of that. And so, yes, he loves me and all that, but also, too, if I love him, do I love him enough to crucify my flesh every day? Because Jesus went on the cross for me and died. God gave up his son for me. What am I willing to do, you know? And so I need to be willing to let this outer man be crucified on a daily basis because it hinders my ability to manifest life. And that's what I'm called to do, manifest life over and over and over, procreate life. So, you know, I'm in that overarching plan of God of that none perish. So I am sowing into that the none perish. God loves everyone, you know, and he desires that none perish. I want to be a part of that. I don't want to be all about myself and not fulfilling what God has called me to do. And I thought this was really good. Watchman Nee said, the breaking of the outer man is such a basic matter. I love that. You know what? This is elementary stuff. It's so elementary. It's baby stuff. It's the milk of the word. And yet I know it's a battle because I do it myself on a daily basis. It's a battle. But it's a basic thing that we have to do. We cannot cling to our weak, soulish characteristics that are still emitting the same fragrance even after 5 or 10 years of the Lord's dealing with us. No, we must allow the Lord to forge a way in our lives. And I love the way he puts that. We have to allow the Lord to forge that way in our lives, and that's through Holy Spirit. He's the revealer of truth, but are we willing to look at the truth that he's trying to reveal to us? You know, when I'm not willing to put my flesh down, you know, and he's putting his finger on that. And the only reason I'm talking about that is it inhibits your relationship with God. It inhibits the intimacy with the Father. And one of the things I wanted to point out, because I thought this was really good too, and I want to go back to the personality of the Holy Spirit, because this goes back to you have Holy Spirit, the presence and power of God living on the inside of you, and he has feelings. And so when I'm not willing to do what God wants me to do, I affect Holy Spirit on the inside of me, okay? And I wanted to talk about one of the things I wanted to bring out, this scripture. You know, we can grieve Holy Spirit, and I don't like to take a scripture and not give you the before and the after, and I call it like a Holy Spirit sandwich, you know, or the word sandwich, okay? And the meat in the middle is, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Well, what's the bread on top, okay? Let's read the bread on top. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. So we know on the top of that scripture, the bread part here, let no unwholesome word, we can say unwholesome words grieve the Holy Spirit, okay? And so I should not be saying those things. What should I be saying? Edifying words. My mouth should be edifying. You know that Holy Spirit edifies you. Holy Spirit does not tear you down. And Pastor, when he was talking about the conscience pulls you down, you know, tells you how worthless and terrible you are. But Holy Spirit never, he's all about edification, and we need to be about edifying too. So our words and our thoughts and every part of us should be for building up, okay? So what's the other part of this sandwich, okay? The bread on the bottom of do not grieve the Holy Spirit, it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. So we can know that bitterness, wrath and anger, clamor and slander grieve the Holy Spirit. And I thought this was really interesting. Rick Renner, in this particular scripture, he said that that word is the pain or grief that can only be experienced by two people who are deeply in love with each other. It would be normally used to picture a husband and or wife who has discovered his or her spouse has been unfaithful. As a result of this unfaithfulness, the betrayed spouse is shocked, devastated, hurt, wounded, and grieved because of the pain that accompanies unfaithfulness. This tells us, first of all, that the relationship that exists between us and the Holy Spirit is precious. The Holy Spirit is deeply in love with us. And so when we think about these things, when you think about if you're speaking those unwholesome words or you're speaking bitterness or having bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor, that is contrary to God's nature, okay? We're in a betrothed relationship with God, you know? And so when I'm saying those things, I'm being unfaithful from God, you know, to God. I'm stepping away from his will and ways, and I'm being unfaithful in that relationship, and it grieves Holy Spirit. It causes him great grief, and I don't want to grieve him, you know, and I have. You know, I've said things and done things that I wish that I had not said and done, and Holy Spirit on the inside, it's like you get a kick, but you know, when you choose to do it over and over and over and over again, it gets less and less and less where you feel that on the inside, that, you know, because Holy Spirit, he's not gonna hit you over the head with a sledgehammer, you know. Another thing I wanted to talk about really quickly is that the Spirit is jealous. We talked about how God the Father is jealous for us. You know, we talked about how, you know, that he loves us with a jealous love. Well, Holy Spirit is no different. And in James 4:5, it says, or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? Now, that word, Rick Renner brings this out, and I love this. He says that it reveals the intense yearning the Holy Spirit possesses to have us entirely for himself. That should be no surprise to us because he is our indweller, our sealer, our sanctifier, and our source of power. His attention, his gifts, his power, and his word are all directed towards us. He is in love with us, and he passionately yearns to fulfill his responsibility to the Father to help, teach, guide, and empower us. And I think that's something we need to really meditate on, the fact that Holy Spirit has an assignment in my life from the Father. And so he has a duty and a responsibility to Father to fulfill. Because what does the word say? He who's begun a good work in you is faithful to complete it. And I talked about how God on his part is faithful. He is going to do it. But are we going to cooperate and with the plan of God? You know, or are we going to, you know, pull and push against what he wants for us? And And I love that, you know, all of who Holy Spirit is for me. You know, every part of who he is for me. He is not against me. And so he has that assignment to fulfill in my life. And so the point being that I want him to, I don't want to grieve him. I don't want to make him jealous. You know, I want to remember that I'm in that betrothed relationship with God and that I need to tread lightly and consider these things in my walk with the Father. And again, remembering the fact that I take Holy Spirit everywhere I go. You know, it says in Psalm 139, 7 through 10, David says, where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me and your right hand will lay hold of me. And I think about Jonah, you know, when Jonah's trying to run away from the assignment of God and God put him in a whale, you know, and then the whale barfed him up. It's like, golly, you know, I'm so thankful that didn't happen to me. You know, but I want to learn, Lord, help me not to have to be thrown up by a big giant whale just to get what you want me to do. I mean, seriously, you know, because God works and he works and he works with us. But don't we want to be teachable? Don't we want to be pliable? Don't we want to hear what Holy Spirit has to say to us? And so, and I don't want to take him into places that God never intended, never really wanted to be, you know. So anyway, I'm going to have to wrap it up, but this will be continued on next month. So Pastor Marsh is going to be ministering the rest of this month, but I'll have more for you, a continuation of this. But again, keeping in mind, this is all about relationship with Father. It's all about the fact that you're betrothed to him. It's all about the fact that he gave you this precious gift, you know, Holy Spirit to live on the inside of you and that power to overcome, because there's nothing in this life that you can't overcome. And you're part of his giant plan to reach the lost, which should be super exciting to each and every one of us, because walking with the Lord is an adventure. And that's what we need to remember. So anyway, let's wrap it up. I'll pray. Father, we just love and honor you and thank you so much for your word. We thank you for your power and your presence tonight, Father God. We value you. We value your presence, Father, and we're grateful for you. Father, I ask you to just bless everyone as they leave tonight, and I thank you for traveling mercies as we go, and we just love and praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Have a great week.